Several weeks ago, Holy Spirit, I was leaving my office, said, "You can't leave right now." So I turned around, and he told me to open a certain drawer, and I did. I had no clue what he wanted, but there's probably 30 books in there. And this one has a bright red exterior, so it was jumping out. So I pulled it out and I looked at it. I wanted to put it back. Do you ever want to put something back? And of course, it had that crown of thorns on it, which wasn't exactly a welcome. It was more, "Are you ready?" The name of the book is "The Day I Was Crucified, as Told by Jesus Christ." So I stuck it in my briefcase and went home. The next morning, I heard it's time to take the book out. So obviously I pulled the book out and I'm thinking at, you know, well, we're going to go chapter 1. He said, "No. Go to page 66, but I'm going to start at 65. Because that's where chapter 21 starts. Here are two of the criminals. It's time to begin." These are the soldiers that are having a communication with each other that they're in charge to do the dirty work that the Romans did all over the world at that time. "You two, each of you, stand beside your crossbeam. Now lie down on it and stretch out your arms. What about that third one over there? Do not bother with him. He will be dead before the nails get to him." With that, the 12 soldiers drew their swords and formed a semicircle around the three prisoners. This was a signal to all bystanders that under no circumstances were they to interfere with these executions. Anyone who dared would be instantly cut down. I started again at the piece of wood. "My cross?" I said faintly. "You are but a piece of wood, but now you are about to destroy creation itself." Again, I spoke to the unseen realm. "Meet me here, principalities and powers. Come, it's your destiny to meet me at my cross." Then I spoke to the city below, Jerusalem. You have so often slain your prophets. Next, I beheld the temple. I saw the covered entrance, which had blocked the view of its sacred chambers. And beyond that, the veil. Beyond the veil, the Holy of Holies. The last sight I would behold would not be the Holy of Holies, but the Ark itself. After my death, I would yet lay my eyes on another door, the one that separates heaven from earth. After this day, the separation would be no more. I then searched my surrounding hills, for there was yet another scene. At last, I sighed. The scapegoat, all alone on the side of a hill, fastened to a small altar. "Hear me, scapegoat," I said. "This day you and I have been led outside the camp. You, the picture of I, I'm sorry, you the picture and I the one who is truly the scapegoat. You are tied to an altar and cannot move. So I too am about to be tied to my altar. Having said that, I laid down on the crossbeam and stretched out my arm. Father, permit even this. Pause. Selah. Several days after this, I've been going through quite a bit of giving out blood unwillingly. A big gentleman comes into my room. It's quite dark that night. He's about 6'3", weighs roughly 300, and he's about to put in another shunt. And he takes my left arm, and I hear the words, "Stretch it and lay it down. Do not resist, because you see, it was my turn." He grabbed my arm, and he didn't take it like the other people had done, because I had had several of them already. But this night was a different night. He punctured and blew a vein. And my body reacted, and he scolded me. It hurt. He's then going to try roughly 4 inches next to it. And I'm sensing, uh-oh, we're in for round two. He grabbed my left arm like a football player grabs a football. And he's on his knees next to the bed. That's never happened. Not with one blood test, not with 7 or 10 or my experiences in the past. I've never had anybody kneel down next to the bed and literally hold my arm with his arm with enough power to break my arm. And I heard, "Lay the arm down." He told me to make a fist. So I did. He tried the second time and blew the second vein. Now he's determined. And I close my eyes and I say, "Oh Lord, here we go again." And I cried out for mercy. But I knew that wasn't a normal needle. That was my little picture of the small nail that I was allowed to receive to tear my arm open again. And it did. And I reacted. But he held me so tight that I couldn't move. But the body still had a reaction. This time we had relative success from his point of view. And I took a deep breath and a sigh of thank you for the mercy, Lord. I stop the pause and I go back to the book. Father, permit even this. The soldiers stared at me in all their experiences of executing men. They had never seen a victim willingly stretch out his arm and receive the nails. It was I, and I alone, who would consent to the cross. I opened my palms. The soldiers paused, still expecting me to resist. But my arm and hand simply waited. "So should all men receive the cross," I whispered. "Mad, that is what you are," grunted the soldier. "Mad," asked Simon. "Has any man faced with crucifixion met that fate with such dignity?" The sky began to darken. Simon stretched the skies. Simon searched the skies. "Those are the blackest clouds I have ever seen. They seem to be billowing out from some other world. I feel some dreadful, unnatural thing is happening." He shuddered. "It is as if all the wickedness of time and eternity were moving towards this hill." "What was his crime?" Simon asked. "As far as I can tell," answered one of the soldiers, "the greatest crime this man ever committed was to hew a chair and make a table." "I don't understand. The man I'm about to nail to that piece of wood is a peasant from the countryside, from Galilee? He's a carpenter?" "Oh, the gods," murmured one of the newly arrived guards as he put his hand onto his mouth. "Is this the man we are killing this day? I have heard him. I have seen him. Do you realize we may put to death a king, a real king?" "Never mind. Kings die the same way thieves do. This is your first time to crucify someone, is it not, soldier?" "It is, but I have a notion it will not be the last. Look over there at the Jews' temple. See all those people. We are looking at them, but they are also looking at us. At 6 this evening, they will slaughter vast numbers of lambs. Frankly, until then, we will be the main event of the day. You will have a good view of their Passover festivities, and they have a good view of our slaughter of a man. Watching this man die, a hideout death, a hideous death, may be more interesting to them than slaying a lamb." At that moment came a loud yell. One of the thieves, trying to delay the nail, called out, "Who is this man over here? He does not look like Barabbas to me. He does not look like anything. Where is Barabbas? He should be dying beside me. And that thing lying next to me, is that a human being? Barabbas is free. Swear words split the wind. He got away again. Yes, thanks to this one who will die with you, Barabbas got away. Pilate set Barabbas free. More to the truth, this man set Barabbas free." "Who is this man that he can set another man free?" "Whoever he is, he cannot set you free," taunted the soldier. "What's his name?" The other thief joined in. "Yes, who is he? I am particular with whom I die." The Roman guard laughed at the thief. "Macabre humor. Whoever he is and whatever he has done to him, his own mother would not recognize him now." "Not true," came the gentle voice of an elderly lady standing nearby. "I do recognize him. I know exactly who he is," she added. "What did he do, murder someone?" the thief continued. Another soldier replied, "This criminal committed a worse crime than all of you. You only robbed and murdered. This one claims to be the Son of God. Worse still, he challenged the institution. No man should ever be so great a fool. The thief asked again, defiantly, who is this man? It does not matter. You only need to know he will die the same way you will. If he is a king, he will die. If he is a dog, he will die. If he is a Jew, he will die. If he is a Gentile like you, he will die. If he is God himself, he will still die. Now both of you either lie down or be knocked down. Just then, a mounted soldier arrived on the scene. Seeing one last chance to forego the nails, the thief asked the horseman, what crime did this man commit? Last week he was a hero. Tens of thousands came out to greet him on the Bethany Road. They threw palm branches before him. That was last week. This week he is enemy of Israel and Rome. One of the thieves looked at me and exclaimed, man, what did you do this week? He exclaimed. He claimed to be the Messiah. The problem was, for many he proved he really was. Now, mind my words or know the whip. The two thieves began to struggle. Both were pushed to the ground, their arms forced down and tied to the beam of wood. In the meantime, I continued to wait. I was lying on the cross, which my Father had endowed with the power to annihilate the universe. One of the soldiers came to my side and began to probe my wrist and hand. Simon, I called quietly. Niger slipped beside me. I am about to be crucified, but something else will happen with which you will not see. In a little while, you will depart this hill and return to your family. But in the eyes of my Father, you will be the one with me on this cross. In my Father's reckoning, and that is the only reckoning that matters, you will be crucified with me. But you said in a few days, I would be one of your followers. I cannot do that and also die today. In God's eyes, this will happen. You will be crucified with me, but you will go on living. From now on, you will not live by human life. You will live by divine life. My Father's life will live your life. That ended the conversation and the crucifixion proceedings had begun. Then came that grisly cry of men having nails being hammered through their hands and fettered to wood. The two men were still screaming hideously when soldiers steadied their ladders and pulled the two men up to the tree. One was nailed facing north and the other facing south. Oaths and blasphemies continued. The weight of both men was suspended on no more than those nails. It was possible to be more horrible. If it was possible to be more horrible, even more horrible wails were heard as each man then had a single nail pierce both feet. Each man then had his feet and legs tied firmly to the tree. Deep within me, I silently cried out, oh, my Father, what is about to happen? Do not let it be hindered by my will. I repeat. Deep within me, I silently cried out, oh, my Father, what is about to happen? Do not let it be hindered by my will. As one soldier pressed my wrist, another steadied the nail. Then came the dull thud of a hammer, smashing the nail as it ripped through my wrist. Blood spurted upon the swearing soldiers. across my arm and upon my face. As silently as a lamb being led to slaughter, I uttered not a word. He is not resisting. This is a sight I have never seen. Once more, I felt the soldiers probing my other wrist. Then again came the sound of tearing flesh and sinews. Once more, my blood spewed all over the Roman guard. The wails of the two now crucified thieves continued to fill the air, as did their curses against man and God. "Shut up, thief," called out one of the soldiers. "Be content that you are about to die with God." After the gentleman left my room, I heard 90% of those words being replayed in my head. That doesn't make me special. What it does say is, will you allow what's happening to you and your body to be used for my glory? And will you allow your will to fight me? Or will you let it happen and do the best you can to enjoy the journey and taste the fellowship of my suffering? You see, I'm not singling me out. Even Sammy had a vision of this crown. Confirming that it was God's plan that was unfolding, not mine. I've asked many times, and I've sang the song just like you. To be like Jesus. And what a happy song. What are you doing, church, when you sing that song? You want to be the Jesus that rises out of the grave without the crucifixion? Maybe what you're going through right now is a form of dying to self that you haven't asked for, but has been planned by God to take you closer to Him than you've ever been. There are more chapters to this episode, but I'm not going any further tonight. But I want you to be able to say to the Lord, let your will be done. Try it on. Let your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Whatever you've planned for me, let it be done. And give me the courage to say yes and the grace to walk it out. Preferably without complaining.